This should be always a priority for women because the muscle is the organ of longevity. The muscle is the tissue or the structure in your body, what actually communicates with everything else. It starts with the quality of your muscle. The more muscle you have and good quality, the better your health is going to be.
On today's episode of the podcast, Angela Beyer, a former banker turned Miss Universe contestant and health coach, shares her journey of overcoming a disordered relationship with food and finding empowerment through strength training. She emphasizes the importance of nourishing the body with real, wholesome foods and the benefits of building strong, healthy muscles. Angela encourages listeners to start where they are and to never accept limitations imposed by others. Her story is a true testament to the power of perseverance and self-discovery. Welcome back, athletes. I'm your host, Sherry Chaban. And with each episode, I am honored to be your coach and guide in the journey to fall in love with fitness and ultimately yourself. My intention in each episode is to help you release the old story of who you are and step into the one you are always meant to be. Through these conversations, together we will step away from focusing on all the doing and step into the being so that health and fitness is not just what you do, but who you are. Angela Beyer, a renowned trainer, online coach, and professional health coach, has an extraordinary journey that led her to become a personal trainer and health coach specializing in helping women build muscle and achieve a healthy lifestyle. From a young age, Angela had a keen interest in sports, and this resulted in low body fat and excellent muscle quality. However, as hormones kicked in and college life took over, she faced challenges. After experiencing trial and error, developing an eating disorder, and encountering major health issues, Angela made the decision to pursue a degree in nutrition, combining her knowledge and unwavering determination to take her body to the next level. Angela dedicated herself to daily gym sessions. And so with consistent effort, she transformed her physique and ventured into her first bodybuilding competition, instantly falling in love with the sport. Angela believes that bodybuilding is akin to art, where one's body becomes the canvas. Now, some of Angela's achievements span over a wide range from successful bodybuilding competitions to winning titles such as Miss Florida, Miss USA, and Miss Universe. And she's also a celebrity trainer and has been on many different types of magazines, featured in All Star Magazine Germany, Flex Magazine, Florida Sun Magazine, Global Trade Magazine, and Naples Daily News. And so after listening to this conversation with Angela, here's what you're going to be walking away with today. Number one, the importance of learning about nutrition and trusting food labels. Number two, the importance of making small improvements every single day. Number three, how to overcome a disordered relationship with food. Number four, learning to combine plant proteins for muscle maintenance. And finally, number five, why strength training is important for overall health and how it affects various aspects of the body, including metabolism and brain function. I am so excited to jump into this conversation, athletes. I have to admit, this has been one of my favorite, and Angela is such a treat. You're about to meet her in just a moment. And before we dive in, I just want to quickly remind you that if you rate and review this podcast on iTunes, giving me a 5-star review, taking that screenshot and then sending it on over to Sherry at SherryChaban.com, you're going to receive a $500 voucher to join me this October, October 12th to 19th in Lefkada, Greece, where you're going to transform your health, your mind, and your body forever without dieting or exercise. So if you've been experiencing self-sabotaging behaviors, feeling so confused about all the rules and the information out there, this is the retreat that you're definitely going to want to join. More information on the website, sherryshaban.com/retreats. All right, athletes, now let's meet Angela. Hi, Angela. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you.
I'm so happy you're here. This is the first Miss Universe that I've actually spoken to, and I'm super excited to get into your story, and I want to welcome you to the show. And what I understand is that you used to be a banker, and then now you're Miss Universe contestant and winner, and now you help women transform their lives so that they can become more empowered through really addressing a strong mindset, a strong healthy lifestyle, and physical vitality. And so before we begin, Angela, of course, now we're super curious about your story. And so maybe you can start off by sharing with us how you got into that space.
Okay, yeah. How did I get into that space? I never planned on doing it, to be honest with you. I was into sports, but I grew up in a very traditional, conservative household. Everything was, how can I say, like the role of a woman was just different. Like when I think back, if I say this now, it sounds crazy, but my dad gave me three options. You either become a nurse, a teacher, or a banker, or secretary. He said secretary.
Wow.
And for me, banking was like, okay, this is even better than secretary, but I can't do teaching. I can't be in. I was like, no. I choose to be a secretary. And it's so bizarre. It was never asked, what does Angela want? Mm-hmm. Or where is my interest? Or this is just what you do. And what happened was, it's not that I was bad at it, but I got put into a framework and I did my best and I was able to do it, but I could never live out my full potential or to be in a happy place. That's like where I think a lot of the like problems started, how I got into the health space. And another thing, what happened in my early like 20s or late teens, I got, well, first relationship, all exciting, but it was not the right partner. And there was a lot going on where, yeah, again, very controlling. It was almost mentally abusive. Mm-hmm. So what happened was, first, I gained a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. Then I was completely frustrated with myself. And I was always the person, oh, she can do it. She can do it. Like whatever I got thrown at, I'm handling it. I'm doing it. So I started to just create my own little diets. I heard pieces here and there. And then trust me, I tried, I think, every diet on this planet. Mm-hmm. And what I did was always extreme, not knowing what I was doing. And by just going all in and always wanted quick results, always wanted to get it quickly fixed and look good again. And I had to function. I made so many mistakes in my diet journey that I basically ended up with an eating disorder. It happened to be like that I cut out too many foods. It was very restrictive until I didn't eat at all. And I overexercised, of course. Women, we love cardio. The Stairmaster was my best friend. Me and my Stairmaster, that was my peacetime. I'm giving it all. And what I did was just harming my body. And to be honest with you, that was the most painful time in my life. And from the outside, when you looked at it, it was always like, oh my God, she has this beautiful career in banking. I mean, I worked my way up in management. There were only two women in that bank at the time, which were in management, that was me and the like president of the bank and nobody else, like all men. Mm-hmm. So this was a harsh environment. And like I said, everything looked good from the outside, but inside I was struggling and I beat myself up. And food was almost, I would say, my enemy.
Right.
I hated to go out to eat. I didn't want to eat in a social environment. I always wanted to know what's on my plate. I controlled very harshly myself. Like it was, if I didn't feel painful hunger, I wouldn't eat. Like if it's not to the point where it's like really hurting, I'm not eating. Then I don't deserve it. What am I saying? You know, I remember those thoughts. And then on the other hand, all day long, I was thinking about food.
Right.
What am I going to eat next? What am I going to eat? What time is it? Oh, 3 more hours. Oh, 2.5 more, 2 more hours. It was like constant, the wasted time when I think about it on food thoughts in my 20s is crazy. And what happened, of course, I got into major health issues until I had a breakdown. And then I needed to stop and really figure something out. because there was nothing left of me. This was like, there was literally skin and bones. And I broke down during a bicycle ride. We were mountain biking and I just passed out and woke up in the hospital.
Wow.
So that was my wake up call. And I actually went to a nutrition school and I got my nutrition degree in Germany just to learn for myself what I need to know about macronutrients, micronutrients. How do I actually portion food? How do I figure out what my body really needs? And at that point, to be honest with you, I could not eat intuitively. I had to measure it and write it down, and I had to have a plan. And if it was written down, and this is what I'm going to do, and otherwise I would have just struggled again. So I created a framework for myself, and that helped me to actually get into strength training, because now my diet, the foundation was good, and I got into strength training.
Wow.
And I recovered pretty fast. I loved building like muscles at the gym. I just enjoyed it, seeing my body change. It was like artwork to me.
Yeah.
Sculpting body, it's like art. And I just enjoyed that process.
Wow.
So, well, but my problems haven't changed. So I actually had another complete breakdown. I said, that's it. And I took off. I went to the United States to learn English just as a break for 3 months. English as a second language, and that's how I came.
I want to actually rewind back a little bit, because I feel like, oh my goodness, I'm so like engulfed in your story, and there's like so many things I want to ask right now before you continue and you share the rest of your story. So let's back up just a moment where you said you started that disordered relationship with food. So sounds like it was more orthorexia, which is more really controlling your food. It's almost like a sense of perfectionism around your food, where you really have a lot of anxiety and fear to have something that is quote unquote unhealthy, or maybe that doesn't serve you. So how did you experience life in that place? I know that you felt really alone, as you shared, you felt like you were going through this thing by yourself, but how were you experiencing life at that moment with that particular condition and disordered relationship with food?
Like I said, I felt like consumed with it. Mm. Like there was nothing else. I lost actually all my friends.
Mm.
I was very isolated, because it was such a, I felt not understood. People don't get it. I'm the only one on this planet who just looks at food and gains weight. Everybody else can eat, but I can't, because if I gain immediately. And I always, always felt overweight. Always felt huge. So again, I created this, it's a very bizarre relationship with food, because you see it as an enemy, but you need to eat,
right?
And you don't want to eat, and you have always this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then there are moments, and if your body needs nutrition,
right,
your body is going to get it.
Right.
You can do whatever you want. You won't have the willpower. You will not. I can tell you this right away. Like, it's not going to happen. If it's unbalanced, at one point, and this is what happened to me too, I went on a binge.
Mm.
Oh my goodness. I mean, that's where I like next level pain. I mean, I ate until I threw up, because I overate so much. And I never like forced myself to throw, but I was able to eat that much that it came back up again. I mean, it's gross. I'm sorry, but it's a,
you're just so amazing, Angela. I have to say, just you sharing your story, you being so vulnerable, you sharing with the world that, hey, I'm Miss Olympia, and this is what happened. This is what happened to me. And this was part of my life's journey, because I think a lot of women need to hear this. And coming from a person who I beyond admire, and just hearing that this is the struggle, this is real, and I was also able to come out of that, is so incredibly empowering.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, but I mean, this is just my story, you know, this is what happened. And like I said, that's why I feel with everybody who goes through this, because I know how it feels. And the beauty of this, it is that you can fix it.
Yeah.
Because in that moment, I felt like if I don't make a big change, I'm not going to make it. Like there will be a point where my body says, that's it, I'm done.
Mm.
And I did not want to get to that point. And I felt actually very helpless and lonely. That was like the two things where I remember, like, where do I start? Where do I go? And like I said, I chose to get a nutrition degree and learn everything about it just to, by the end of the day, I am a banker and numbers are the numbers. So I felt comfortable in creating that environment because I was like, I felt always like, is this too much? Is this enough? Is this good? Is this bad? Like, what? And the sad part is too that there is so much misinformation and so much marketing around food that you cannot really trust, or like you have to know how to read a food label nowadays. You cannot just buy something and there is some nice claim on the package and that's no.
Right.
Like, you really gotta know what you're doing. And this is another like obstacle, I would say, what I had to learn. And I grew up like, oh my God, like I said, I did every diet, the fat-free diet, and there was those little 100 calorie snack packs. And I'm like, oh, this is great.
I'm hungry.
Like I said, it's like, why is it not working? And all the promises, whatever. This was also a big, big problem, what I experienced in that time. And like I said, when I just put this all aside and said, I'm starting from scratch and I do it how I got taught, and I did my workouts, and like I really focused. And this is, like I said, I created a framework for myself to feel safe and at peace. That's how I started it.
So good. You know, something that you said resonated with me so much, and this is such truth, that your body, no matter what you do, no matter how much you starve it, will always win. Your body will always win for survival. So that's why you'll notice that even when you are so restrictive, it's why we tend to develop unwanted eating behaviors like binge eating and mindless eating and then nighttime snacking, because your body will count what it got that day. And the body doesn't count the calories, it counts the nutrients, right? It's missing stuff. So it's going to call out for that stuff. And that's why we tend to overeat or eat to the point like you were sharing earlier, where you're vomiting and you're actually making yourself ill. So that's super, super powerful. And the other thing that I like what you said, because I know you're an intuitive eater and I know we're going to get into that. And something that you said was also super, super important is that you had to learn what you didn't know, right? And that's so, so profound, which is the counting of the stuff. And it's interesting because I also get a lot of questions about my app. So I have an app called the HitDex app, and a lot of people are like, but sure, you're anti-diet, but why do you have like a tracker for nutrition? Well, a lot of us need to learn that, because a lot of us who've been in that restrictive place for so long, exactly what you said, Angela, we don't know what we don't know. So let's start there and let's start to see as an experiment. All right, if I up my, let's say, carbohydrates a little bit, how does my body react? Or what happens if I up my fats a little bit? How does my body react? And my body react is not just what's going on the scale. My body reacting is my mood and my energy and my cravings and all of the other things. And so we have to play around with it. And especially, again, like you said, where we're going to the grocery store and this package says that it's really, really good for me, and there's superfoods in here and there's antioxidants and there's all kinds of stuff, and it's also fat free and it's also made from whole grains. It's also, I mean, we don't know. And what we don't understand is that that's all just marketing. It's part of their branding. And what we're purchasing is what's their branding. It's not really, like you said, what's on the labels. And so can you expand on that, especially that part where you got into nutrition? So was that right after that incident on the bike where you showed up, just ended up in the hospital?
Yep.
Can you share a little bit around that, especially just going from restricting and not eating and really fearing food to finally actually allowing yourself, giving yourself full permission to eat what your body needs? How was that transition?
Okay, for me, it was almost like I was on a high. Like, when I started nourishing my body, my body was like a sponge in a good response. Oh my goodness. What happened was I had depression and anxiety. It went completely away. I remember that. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, the high, I was just a happier person. I woke up and I was just in a good mood. And like I said, I knew this is what I'm going to have for breakfast, and these are the amounts I need. And I had it and I was content. What went away was my food chatter. This was huge too.
Yes.
The food chatter I had, which was driving me nuts. This was like I said, incredible when you think about it. Like, you're in a meeting and you hear a person talk and in your brain, it all goes away and you just hear yourself saying, okay, when is time to eat again? And then what did he just say? Oh my goodness, I'm thinking about food. Like, what's wrong with me? Like, I had a really hard time focusing at work or something, and this went away. Like, I was more present. And like I said, the anxiety and the depression went away. I was just able to perform much, much better. It's interesting too, how my sleep pattern, how my energy levels, like it all fell into place. I mean, I didn't sleep. This was when I was always on the hunt with food. That's how I call it. I didn't sleep. I had like 2 hours of sleep because I was doing something or anxious about something, or like there was such an underlying stress level going on, and the stress went away totally. Like I was grounded. Way more grounded. And like I said, the food chatter went away, more peace. And the other thing is too, I was just able to actually work my body. I'm not just hanging on a stairmaster for my dear life, trying to survive, you know, like 90 minutes on it somehow. And no, I was actually working out. And I had really good workout sessions where I felt good afterwards.
Energy.
Like this is... yeah, so much more energy. Yeah, this is huge, huge.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you got your nutrition degree. Now we're starting to change our relationship with food. We're feeling amazing, full of energy. We're actually nourishing ourselves. I love this word, nourishing your body. And then you decided to move to the United States to learn English. And then what happened?
Yes. So yeah, I broke up with my boyfriend at the time, went to the States, started fresh, learned. Well, I went to this school, English as a second language, fell in love with the United States. And then I actually got an internship at a bank, again, not being authentic and again, doing my thing, trying. And to be honest with you, I was not in shape because I had like this big breakup and I'm trying so hard and I tried to find myself and again, not being authentic and true and honest. You have to be the person you are, you know, you cannot pretend, you cannot create personality or label for yourself and just show up like that. No, you can't. Again, hitting a wall. So anyway, I talked to my immigration lawyer about this and how can I get a work visa and yada yada. And she's like, well, there's no way you can stay because you don't have any special skills as a banker. And I said, well, that's true, but I can lift weights really, really well. I can do that. That's a skill I can really perfect. She's like, well, if you can win a world champion title for the United States, you can get a green card.
Oh my goodness.
And I sat there and I'm like, did she just say that? Did she? What?
Challenge?
A world champion title? I mean, that's a stretch, but okay. So she was serious about this. And I'm like, okay, what I can do is I pull out my diet. I pull out the workouts I did back in the days. I go back to the gym. I clean it all. And let's see what I'm made out of. Let's see if that what I've learned, I can like perform. And I just do my best and we will see how far I can take it. And by being dialed in and doing what I love to do, I cannot even explain it. It was this tunnel vision and I just embraced it. And boy, everything went well. No health issues, no nothing. I was just going. And I prepped for Miss Florida. I did the Miss Florida show to feel it out. One. Got qualified for Team USA. I mean, this
That's
was just
competition, Angela?
In the US, yeah.
Your first competition, you won it. Miss Florida.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yep. That's how it went.
Okay.
And then I was qualified for Team USA. I went to Los Angeles. That was a bigger show, I have to say. And then yeah, I did again my thing. And it's funny too when I think about it. It was a flow. There was just such a flow. And I was so looking forward to actually show what I was able to create that day on a competition day that I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed showing the world what I did. So there was a different energy behind the whole prep. So I won Miss USA, got qualified for Miss Universe. And same thing, the little details, what went into this whole prep, I had an American flag bikini.
You have to send me
Which,
that photo after, yeah? Can you
yes. I'll send you the photo. But this was like in the morning, you have the prejudging where you have the black bikini, everybody gets compared. And in the evening, you have your show bikini where you do your posing routine. And my goal was at the Miss Universe to be able to show that bikini. I wanted to be top five. That was my goal. That's all I wanted. And it was just a great time. And I'm like, I have a blast that day, and that's what I'll do. And trust me, I was still focused. I was dialed in because, I mean, there's always this glimpse of like there is a green card in the back waiting for me. So did my best, and I was in the finals. And the funny thing is, when you actually watch the video, you can see when they announce who won place 5, 4, 3, and I'm still standing there, and you could actually see how I got nervous. And when they announced the second place winner, I checked my number if it's really me that won. I couldn't even grasp it in that moment. I mean, so excited, but also relieved.
Wow.
When you think about it, everybody is like, hey, was that the happiest moment in your life? To be honest with you, no, I was just relieved. Wow. I felt relief knowing that I got my green card now, that this is like the journey, I accomplished it, I got it, and I can stay and create now my future in a different way, what was supposed to happen. And I can, yeah, do my own thing. That was like a relief. The happiest time was the prep, the journey of doing it.
So
every day, changing, doing my diet, food prepping. And again, this is another thing where you can actually watch your body changing every, almost weekly, how it, yeah, transforms and gets better. And like I said, it's sculpting the body. It's such an amazing thing. And the body responded how it's supposed to do. Like, oh my God, there was no like issues. This is what I've learned. This is what I did. And this is what my body did. And it was all a flow. And yeah, since then I started personal training and health coaching and helping others to accomplish their goals.
Wow, so beautiful. And as you were sharing your story, I was getting goosebumps. It's like, I feel like I was there with you, by the way. Like, you so brought me there and I could see your face and you're like, oh, stunned that you got first place. This is so amazing. I want to come back to just your journey actually with strength training, because as you're talking about strength training, it's so clear that it's like your face changes. You're just so lit up. You're glowing. And it's so clear that you're just hit something that just completely lights you up. And so share with me your journey a little bit when you first started strength training. I guess you had to learn from other people, or did you just start kind of self-learning? How did you get into that?
First, I started actually self-learning. I went to the gym and I just lifted weights and I did my best. And of course, you reach plateaus and you're like, okay, it's not working. That's not working. And I, at the beginning, literally bought books like Arnold Schwarzenegger's big bodybuilding book. And I read though, like every bodybuilding book I could find and magazines. And then at one point I got a trainer and she helped me designing different workout plans and different steps, how to reach certain goals. And she was actually able to explain to me what a woman has to focus on, which muscle groups have to be highlighted, which muscle groups I don't need to hit as hard, how I create or different frameworks, how the body looks like the waist looks small. Like, she was really into this as well. She had a bodybuilding background. And what I experienced too is she told me, we'll never forget, when you go to the gym, you always, every day, you do something a little bit better than the workout before. And if it's just one repetition, you always do one more little thing, just a little bit better. Yeah. It's not that you start powerlifting, but every time you improve, every time you do one more thing more, like force it, get a little bit more out of you. And always ask, see, this is what I do. I ask myself every time when I'm at the gym, is this really everything I can do? Is this all? Or is there something left in the tank?
Right.
Yep.
So it sounds like 1% better every day, which is really the idea, just a little bit more. You don't have to have major gains every single time. It's just that one rep. So I'm curious because right now you're talking about a sport, or let's say a very artistic sport that requires your nutrition to be super dialed in. So you have a history now of a disordered relationship with food that you've overcome, and you're also now an intuitive eater. So how does that all fit in? And why did that not necessarily, let's say, re-trigger old patterns or old relationships with food?
Oh, very good question. To be honest with you, there are up and downs. There are things what I know now about myself what trigger, which I cannot do. And but this is something what nobody should do. This is a funny thing. It's sugar and flour. I mean, I cannot. I'm very, very, and I think that's created by having this eating disorder. I think there are different susceptibility like scales. Like some people are not susceptible to it, and I'm super susceptible to sugar. I just can't touch it. Nope. It's not good for me, and I just stay away from, you know, highly processed foods with a lot of sugar in it. I just don't do it. If I don't do this, I'm totally at peace. And if you ask me about my meal, my portion sizes, it's so funny how you can actually eyeball it. You know exactly the portion you need.
Right.
And I don't eat until I'm stuffed. I don't eat and stop eating and I'm still hungry.
Yes.
But I know the portion size now. Now I eyeball it, but what is very important in my world is that my protein intake is high. When my protein intake is high, I have no hunger whatsoever. I'm totally content. Like for me, but this is personal.
Yes, very good point.
Yeah. So everybody is different. And what I have always my carbs. I have always my fats with every meal. Every meal has basically the same structure. And I can tell if I had like a more strenuous or longer workout, I just up the carbs a little bit. And do I measure them? No, I don't. But it's not that I make this huge portion of sweet potatoes after. I just add a half a sweet potato to the one I have already.
Right.
But this is because I worked out more, and it's not, this is the funny thing. I'm at peace with it. There is, okay, I worked for it. I earned it. I'd eat it. I'm okay. You know, and it's not that I think a lot about food anymore. It's literally fuel. That's what I do. And I stay with complete wholesome foods. I don't do anything processed.
Right.
I don't. It's real food. If you cannot pick it, don't eat it. Like I'm that kind of person. Where I had a little issue in my journey was when I started being plant-based. And what happened there, and this is also a learning curve, what I had to learn the hard way. When you look at food labels, with fat, it says trans fat, saturated fat, monounsaturated fat. If you look at carbs, it says sugar, fiber, it says it all. And then you read protein, one number.
Right.
But protein doesn't equal protein. So if the amino acid profile is not complete, you're not triggering muscle protein synthesis. Now it gets very scientific, but that's what happens. So I didn't combine the right plant proteins together. So I lost muscle during the time when I was plant-based, and that was a learning curve for me. So I had to learn to food combine different proteins, or I took animal proteins to keep my muscle going.
Right.
So that was a big point for me where I said, okay, I'm not doing well with a plant-based diet. I tried it. And like I said, but I want to have as much healthy muscle as I can. And that's why I switch back to animal protein as a protein source as well.
Right. So it sounds like you're playing around with the type of foods that you're really just exploring, and then seeing how your body reacts to it, which I love because
Correct.
that really should be our approach to nutrition, knowing that we all have different environments, we grew up from different places and different origins, therefore we learn to eat different foods, and then we also thrive on different things based on what our gut health state is. And so what you're saying is when you went plant-based that you didn't have a complete protein source at every single meal, and therefore you're lacking certain amino acids in that profile, and you started to notice that your performance was impacted, as well as obviously the sport, which is more aesthetic. So I want to come back to something that you said earlier, and especially just again about that relationship with food. You said something like sugar and flour, for me, you said something like you're susceptible to it. Can you expand on that a little bit more? What do you mean by sugar and flour in particular, you're more susceptible to?
That's again, if I eat sugar or flour, it's almost like I get a dopamine hit
Yeah,
and
right.
then I can't stop.
Yes.
And then I'm looking for more and more and more, and I eat way too fast. My brain gut connection cannot even tell me that I'm full because I start just shoveling the food in. And again, the feeling of emptiness afterwards, even though you're stuffed and you're still looking,
Yes.
it's too painful. And this is what happens with me if I have a highly processed thing. And like I said, for me, it's sugar and flour. I just don't touch it because it's literally a trigger. And I'm fine with stevia, no problem. I can use stevia. I'm okay with it. I try, like I said, this gets really like into details, like, oh my God, what kind can I use? What doesn't trigger, And the sugar part is, it's so funny because I can go on for so long and you think you're fine. But like I said, if the sugar comes in on the plate, it's not good for me. And I just, to be honest with you, there is not even an interest anymore. Like I've been fine for, oh my God, 15, 20 years now. That was the beginning of the journey, where, like I said, okay, what is it that I'm always struggle or I'm good, 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 and then oops, there is a hiccup, good, 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 and then something happened. And I just learned that this is some, that it's not real food. I mean, to be honest with you, now let's put it to the extreme. How does sugar look like? White powder. How does cocaine look like? I mean, I'm putting it now to a real extreme. There's no different, it's to me almost like drug abuse. I mean, that's what it is. And it's unfortunate that it's in so many foods. And I think a lot of people don't even know that they're addicted to sugar. I just realized that, and I just said no more. I don't want to be under the influence.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know what I find so profound about this conversation is how that sense of curiosity and really you being so in tune to the response of your body is what leads you to make choices. And to me, it sounds like it's coming from such a place of love. And so everything that you said about sugar, about flour, I also avoid sugar. And I am an anti-diet, and I'm also an intuitive eater. And similar to you, it's a trigger for me. It's never enough. It is never enough, no matter how much I've eaten, no matter how much heartburn I have. It's never enough. And then I want just more of it because you're tricking the body. You gave the body an insane amount of energy, yet it was so empty. So it's like, okay, whoa, where are all the vitamins? Where's the fiber? Like, where's the stuff that I need to actually build myself? Because I need more. And so I agree with you. And I find when I don't have sugar, and I'm sure somebody listening is like, yeah, but what do you mean? How can you not have sugar? And isn't that extreme? Yes, I can see how it could be. However, when you're so in tune again with how you're wanting to feel, and I want to feel relaxed. I don't want to think about food. I want to have a great night's sleep. And I have had surgery twice on my back, and I notice if I have sugar, I'm in pain. I actually feel my body aching in pain because that's inflammation in the body. And so when you start to actually look at those things versus looking at what the scale is saying because I'm eating sugar, now your relationship with sugar is very, very, very different. I'm not avoiding sugar because I'm trying to be a certain percent body fat. I'm actually avoiding sugar because I don't like how I feel in response to it. It affects my sleep, it affects my gut health, it affects my mood. I just crave it even more. And so that would be the driving reason. And that's what intuitive eating is really all about. Anyone encouraging you to eat more processed foods because that's intuitive eating, or anyone encouraging you to eat foods that don't serve you because that's intuitive eating, that is not actually the goal behind intuitive eating. If you're really listening to your body's cues, your body's asking for foods that it can recognize, that comes from nature, that's clean, that's in a source that it actually can utilize, and that's free from toxins and other things that may harm the body. And so when we allow ourselves without judgment just to listen to the body, that's where we can come to that place. And what I love, Angela, also about what you said is that this is a journey. You said this was 15 years ago. That means there was trials and errors, and you tried a lot of different things until you got to this place. And so it's not this magical thing that happens overnight. And that's the similar thing with my journey too. When I was running a gym, I was so obsessed with we eat this, we don't eat that, and that was my focus. It was about the rules. It wasn't about what my body was responding to. But the moment that I released all that, which also because of my unwanted eating behaviors that came about because of that, and I started to actually listen to my body, I'm now not craving these foods. I don't crave sugar. I can watch people eat a piece of cake. I don't feel like I'm missing out if right? It's like, that's cool. I don't judge you for having it. And also I feel really comfortable like this because I feel vital and I feel that I'm relaxed and I'm super centered in where I am right now. And I know what the impact will be in my body. And therefore I choose how I feel right now versus choosing to have something that doesn't serve me that could create issues a little bit later on.
Absolutely, yeah. I call this absolute food freedom.
Yeah, that's food
Food.
freedom. Yeah.
That's what I have, food freedom. And I just choose to eat real food.
Yeah,
I
right.
mean, that's what it is.
Right. And you choose. It's not because you have to. It's not because you can't have that other you I can have as much sugar as I want, and so can you. Like, we can't. It's not that I'm not allowed to. I choose not to. Like, I actually choose to eat the foods that fuel me. And this came from trials and errors. This came again from a journey, right? It's not been a year or two. It's been for me over 20 years of being in that space and trying out a lot of things and developing a disordered relationship with food and understanding that it's not about the mind choosing. It's really let my body choose. And when I allowed my body to choose, my goodness, the choices really changed, and I felt very empowered in my journey and very, very connected to self.
Yes. And what helped me a lot during that time of self-exploring is journaling. I
Yeah.
write everything down. And I write, what I started doing is I wrote down my food and then how I felt. And
Yes.
I have, like, yeah, my 3 meals a day, and I always write down my meals and how I felt. And I kept doing, and then I have a gratitude book. I just practice gratitude. And so, again, in the journey, when you have those moments, I stop myself and I talk about what I'm grateful for. 10 things, what I'm grateful for. And when I'm at number 9 or 8, I'm already good. I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm
Yeah.
so grateful for my food, for whatever, you know, what my things, what I'm grateful for, and then I'm okay.
Yeah.
And that helped me a lot too.
So powerful. Yeah, I love that too. And gratitude is so incredibly important. And it's amazing how it is an immediate shift in your nervous system. And it's an immediate shift in your mood. Just focusing on what you have versus what you don't have. Oh my goodness, that makes all of the difference. And I want to actually come back to Angela. Just this importance of strength training. And you know, I'm a woman and I love strength training, and it's something that I'll always suggest. And I'm sure for you also, it's something you suggest to your clients as well. And oftentimes there's a lot of resistance of no, but I don't want to get too bulky and I don't want to get all jacked. And so women kind of tend to sort of be a little bit nervous around that and apprehensive. So first of all, I want to just hear from you why strength training is so incredibly important. Why is it so empowering? And what are the benefits of it? And also, if you want to share a little bit around what you also get in terms of resistance when you talk about strength training to women.
Oh, I love this question. Yeah, strength training, why this should be always a priority for women, because the muscle is the organ of longevity. The muscle is the tissue or the structure in your body, what actually communicates with everything else. It starts with the quality of your muscle. Now, the more muscle you have and good quality, the better your health is going to be. Why? Because, like I said, the muscle is communicating. The muscle, if you have strong, healthy muscle, guess what? Your bones have to keep up with that. They are going to be stronger. You have really good bones. If you keep up with a good, healthy muscle, what gets worked? You create a flux in the muscle. You working those carbohydrates, guess what? Your metabolism is just much, much better. If you have trouble with eating, well, I'm sure it's because your muscle quality is not there. The muscle doesn't even have receptors anymore to get anything going. That's where you're stuck. It's not that something, I mean, in the digestion, there's something going on for sure. A thousand things can be going on. But I'm just saying, as a basic structure to get going, start the strength training and see what your metabolism does. When you work out and you have a good, healthy tissue, well, it communicates with your endocrine system. Your hormones are just better. The production, the balance, everything. Same with brain function, focus, being grounded. Muscle communicates with the brain as well. Depression, anxiety, like I said, this all goes away because the quality of the muscle. I always say, I mean, this is, again, extreme example, but you want to be a fillet steak. That's how your muscle should look like. Ha!
That's good.
That's what you want to be.
Fillet. I'm training to be a fillet steak.
But you get the point? It shouldn't be marbled. It shouldn't be, it should be a really lean tissue. And I deal with, like, I have a lot of clients who deal with insulin resistance because they eat the carbs, the body is producing the insulin, but the insulin cannot open the muscle anymore because the receptors are not there and it just hits a wall. And then we have the carbs like spilling over in the liver. We get fatty liver, and we go on and on and on with issues. And we doctor around how to fix insulin resistance, and we get all kinds of crazy ideas. Just lift weights. Just start there and get going. And I'm not talking about powerlifting. This is, again, I mean, sometimes I have clients, they work out from home. They don't even have dumbbells, and we use just their own body weight. And that's heavy. You know, it's always where you start. We are all different. Everybody is at a different starting point, but I just want them to work their body and to their best capacity. And we work our way up and we improve all the time. And it's a step-by-step program. It's never a quick fix, but it you will have such a better life quality on the long run, a health span where you can enjoy when you're older, still things you can do when you were younger, like playing tennis, playing with your grandkids, being able to go grocery shopping, and you don't depend on anybody. So these are the measurements I take if it comes to goal setting. Yeah.
That's so, so powerful. And, you know, the most common way that, let's say, our elderly have injuries is really from a fall. Like, it's the most common way. And as soon as they do, they fall, they break a hip, they break maybe a femur, and oftentimes it's because they've atrophied over time. And so it could be a slip in the tub or maybe a slip down the stairs. And then as soon as we that happens at that age, it's so incredibly difficult to heal the body, so incredibly difficult to heal that bone. And that's why they tend to experience issues moving forward.
Right. And I mean, of course, what then happens as well, if they break something, they lay in bed.
Yes. Yeah.
They atrophy even more. I mean, that's just, yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't want anybody to experience that. Yeah, not good.
So powerful. So powerful. And, you know, something that you said was so, so, so profound. And I just want to repeat it. And you said, just start where you are. And anyone listening who's maybe even watching this right now, watching the video of this on YouTube and was looking at your jacked shoulders and like, oh my goodness, like, and it's intimidating to get started, but really something as simple as a wall push-up or a sit squat, right? Sitting on your chair and standing, start there. And we all have to start somewhere. Right. We always oftentimes compare ourselves to people who've been doing it way longer and feel like we're so far behind that there's no way we're ever catching up. But coming back to what you said earlier, it's one extra rep a day. And if you do that consistently, focusing on one extra rep a day, just a little bit every day, even if I only have 5 minutes and that's all I'm going to give it, I'm going to make those 5 minutes count. And it's actually quite amazing. I find the less time I have to work out, the better my workouts are. Because I'm like, oh my goodness, oh my God. I gotta hurry up, and right, and so I'm like, oh my God, maybe I should do that more often. Maybe I should actually cut my workout time. So start somewhere. And you know, I've rebuilt my body several times. I've had major injuries, as I've shared. I've had back surgery twice. I've given birth twice, and you know, and that's part of life. But when you learn how to just respect yourself where you are, honor your body, and have grace with yourself, you really can hit that 1% better every day and stay consistent.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, well said.
This is such a good conversation, Angela. You're just such a gorgeous, beautiful human being. And thank you so much for inspiring so many people and for being so vulnerable and for sharing your story today. Is there anything else that you wanted to say that you didn't have a chance to just yet?
Well, what I would like to say is to anybody who's listening, don't accept a no. So many people are telling you, you can't do this, or you can't get out of that, or you can never change. Don't accept it. We are all able to do this. And I had so many people telling me no, and I just ignored it, to be honest with you, and I kept going. And yeah, everybody should do that. Just don't accept the no and try and start. Just start. Do it.
Mm-hmm. So good. So good, Angela. Thank you so much again for your time. That was so beautiful. If someone wanted to reach out to you, to connect with you, to learn more about you, where could they go to do that?
Yeah, on Instagram at Health Coach Angela, or on Facebook, same thing, Health Coach Angela. I have a Shape Up group there. It's a safe space where we can share our like problems and our success stories, and we support each other. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. Thank you again so much for this time. I really love this conversation with you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fall in Love with Fitness. Whether you're already on your fitness journey or just getting started, we're in this together. Just head on over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave a review, and you'll be entered into the drawing to win my 6-week transformation course. Then go to fallinlovewithfitness.com and get your free gift from me so you get back your energy and reinvigorate your life. Join me on the next episode, and remember, you are an inspiration.